Welcome to our Bible study on the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. And as always, I'm assuming you have read the passage, that you have your Bible open before you, and that you understand our translations may not agree. This week, we will have a different look at the Nativity. John's Christmas would be difficult to do in a children's program. There is no baby lying in a manger. There are no parents traveling to Bethlehem. There are no angels or shepherds. There is no star or magi. John doesn't give us much of a historical account of Christmas. Instead, he gives us a confession of faith about the incarnation of God. John isn't so concerned about exactly what happened in Bethlehem during the reign of Caesar Augustus or King Herod. He is much more concerned about the proper beliefs about Jesus now. The Christmas confession of John's community, note the us and the we in verse 14, extends beyond a baby being born and wrapped in cloths and laid in a manger. It is the belief that he existed before creation, and he comes and lives among us now. While we will be focusing on verses 10 through 18, I would encourage you to take a minute and read verses 1 through 18, which is often referred to as the prologue. There is nothing like it in any of the other Gospels. The prologue is a distinct literary unit with a clear beginning and ending, and focusing on a single subject, the Word of God. Before beginning his story, John presents a hymnic prelude that places the whole narrative in a cosmic framework. The prologue lets the reader know in advance what is really happening in the story to follow. It's like an overture to an opera. In fact, these verses are so poetic, with the prose insertions at verses 6 through 8 and verse 15, that some scholars suggest it was a hymn that would have been sung in the churches that John was writing to. I want to start by looking at verse 9. While not part of our reading today, some translations, such as the NIV, include verse 9 in the same paragraph with verses 6 through 8, while others begin a new paragraph with verse 9, ending the paragraph at verse 13. The argument for including it in verses 6 through 8 is because of the reference to light. But clearly the light does not refer to John the Baptist, which is why the other translations begin a new paragraph, using it as a way of introducing a new section of the prologue, in which the true light refers to the He in verses 10 through 13. This section of the prologue, verses 9 through 13, contains many themes that will feature prominently in the rest of the gospel: light, life, knowledge, acceptance and rejection, the world, belief in Jesus, and new birth. It also heightens the interaction between the eternal and the temporal in two ways. First, the world's response is explicitly recounted as a drama of rejection and acceptance. Second, human beings who belong to the temporal are given a chance for life that depends on faith, not temporal constraints. As we see, despite the rejection in verse 11, verses 9 through 13 end on a note of hope and promise. Looking at verse 10, we see the light and the word expresses itself in the world. The Greek word is cosmos with a K, and it is the first use of this word in the Gospel of John, a noun that will appear quite frequently. It is not a synonym for creation in general, but is used to refer specifically to humanity. This emphasis serves two purposes. First, it opposes the dualistic view of creation held by Gnosticism and others even today, where the world is seen as evil. Here we have an affirmation that the world is good, made through him, which makes the second purpose even more painful, the rejection of him by the world. The world owes its very existence to him, but it did not know him. To know, and its related term to see, are key concepts in the Gospel of John. Whether people believe in Jesus will hinge on what they are able to know or to see. Looking at verse 11 makes the rejection specific. Some keep that rejection very specific, suggesting that it refers only to the Jewish people. Others would say the rejection applies to all who reject Jesus. Verses 12 through 13, Christian believers become children of God through faith. We will see this emphasized later in John in chapter 3, when Jesus teaches Nicodemus the importance of being born from above, which is a much better translation than being born again. At verse 14, the phrase, "and the Word became flesh," is a radical affirmation with far-reaching implications for our thinking about God, life in the world, and what it means to be a Christian. This verse makes it clear that Jesus was fully human, not pretending to be human, or appearing to be human, or seemed to be human, or in many ways was like human. The fact that Jesus is fully human and became flesh underscores the depth, the intensity, and the pursuit of God's love for the world. Continuing with verse 14, look at the phrase, "and dwelt." Some translations may say "lived among us." But the word "dwelt," or the NIV's "made his dwelling," are more precise translations than "lived." John's Greek word literally means "tented," and is related to the Old Testament word for tabernacle, tent, and temple, in which God lived among the people. John wants to show that what the tabernacle and tent stood for is now fully represented by Jesus and, some would say, by the church. As we continue to look at verse 14, look at the phrase, "and we beheld his glory." Did you hear the "we"? There is a shift here from the narrative third person to the first person plural. The "we" does not just refer to the apostles or the eyewitnesses. It includes all who believe, the entire Christian community, including us and all future generations. In terms of the season of Christmas, Christmas isn't just about a historical event of a birth in Bethlehem, but a present confession of faith about God's presence, glory, and grace for us. Although John may not have a nativity scene, he makes clear that the coming of Jesus is a concrete expression of God's love for us. Verses 15 through 17 continues or expands the confessional statement in verse 14. The eyes of faith have seen God's glory in Jesus, but not everyone has such eyes. At the time that John wrote his gospel, there was a John the Baptist sect, referred to in verse 15, and the synagogue, referred to in verse 17. And while both were viable religious groups, they did not see the glory of Jesus. It is important for us to realize that faith hears, sees, and testifies, but faith is not so obvious as to be embraced by all. Faith may involve searching. "Rabbi, where do you live?" That's in chapter 1, verse 38. Or a response to an offer. "Come and see," chapter 1, verse 39. It can involve a hunger, such as in chapter 4, verse 18. And or a willingness to obey, such as in chapter 7, verse 17. But nothing about Jesus is so publicly apparent as to rob faith of its risk, its choice, and its courage. Faith exists among alternatives. At verse 18, we see an affirmation that no one has seen God, but Jesus reveals God and makes God available to us. Believing in Jesus is not simply adding another belief to our belief in God. It is also having our belief modified, clarified, and informed by what we see in the person and ministry of Jesus. Jesus' statement later in the Gospel at chapter 14, verse 9, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father," does not simply tell us what Jesus is like, but what God is like. And to know God is life eternal. Chapter 17, verse 4. In conclusion, the Gospel of John contains two overarching themes: the identity of Jesus and the believer's identity and relationship to Jesus. Both of these themes are established in the prologue. The vocabulary and images introduced in the prologue will occur throughout the gospel. For example, life at verse 4, light and darkness at verse 5, witness at verse 7, truth at verse 9 and 17, world at verse 9, knowledge at verse 10, acceptance and rejection verses 11 through 12, children of God verse 13, glory verse 14, Father and Son, verse 18. The prologue of John 1 through 18 introduces us to the life and ministry of Jesus and all that that means. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.